Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 156. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and continue with your Christmas shopping there. Or just buy stuff for yourself because, I mean, that's probably what most of us are doing, right? With us today, as always, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? What is today? Today's Tuesday, right?
Yeah. Today's Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. I don't know why I don't know the days, but...
It's club day.
Yeah, it's, I like that we do it in the middle of the week because we get, like, all the news from the weekend and all the crazy stuff.
All together, basically.
Yeah, so we had some bad snow here, but now it's completely all gone. What's it like up in Michigan?
Oh, yeah, we got the snow, then I went snowboarding, and then it rained, and it's gone, so...
Yeah, I feel that
happens.
You know, this always happens. We were like, oh, it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be that bad of a winter. And then, like, middle of January, there's just, like, some crazy storm or something, you know.
Yeah. I'm planning on it being terrible this year. I'm going to get a lot of indoor stuff done.
Well, that's good. I mean, indoor means PC gaming. It means PC building. It means PC modding. It means a lot of stuff.
Just basically nerding out.
So. Yeah, that's the way to do it. So talking about that, we'll jump into reviews this week because two really awesome products and ones that I enjoyed thoroughly reviewing. The first one is a motherboard, and it is the EVGA Z390 FTW, or for the win. That kind of sits as their middle-of-the-road motherboard in the Z390 line, of course, made for brand new 9th generation core processors or 8th generation because it supports both of those. And one thing I really like that EVGA has done is they haven't gone crazy RGBs. There's no RGBs on this motherboard.
At all?
There's headers if you want to connect an RGB strip.
But no lighting whatsoever, huh?
There's no RGB lighting on this board. It has a more toned back design. It's not super flashy or anything like that. It just looks like a cool board. I really like the design of this board. And again, we see so many companies have these over-the-top designs. And the only thing that EVGA has really done is made that top piece that connects the two heat sinks and the rear I/O, and that's it. And it's just an overall, it's a really good looking board. They've also done some cool things, like all of the bottom headers are at a 90 degree angle pointing down, which is something haven't really seen before. This is supposedly supposed to make things easier. I don't know how much trouble you'd get in certain cases that align right there at the bottom, you know?
I think you could get into a lot of trouble, actually. Maybe, you know, if you're a normal person and you only install things one time and then use it, you'd be not that upset with it. But I know from changing stuff around in my system that would actually probably end up pissing me off. But I do get the idea. It's a good thought. How did it work for you?
Well, the thing is, I test this in test bench, so we don't really have that. I've heard times, I mean, certain cases will line up perfectly with like the holes in the, the power supply cover. But again, there's other ones that I can even think of that the power supply cover lines up directly with the bottom of the motherboard. And with these angled down, it's going to be a pain in the ass to unplug these. And, you know, see, especially when you're doing your front panel connections, like see, okay, which one goes in, you know, the power, you know, header and all that stuff. But besides that, you know, that's one of the issues I saw with the board. But besides that, it's just a good Z390 board. It has everything that you want, really. You have dual M.2 slots there. You have the third one for Wi-Fi, which all the Z390 boards should have. Powerful enough VRM and all of that. It does support SLI, although you're going to be running at X16 and X8. You know, you're not going to get that on any of these boards. One really cool thing that this does have is that it has a USB port on the board itself, and that's to flash the BIOS without having a CPU installed, which is nice. Yeah. You know, maybe you're doing some overclocking and you think you might have blown your CPU or something. You know, or it's just something happens. Or you might even get like an older generation or a newer generation part that you need to flash this BIOS like in the future.
That's the biggest thing, yeah.
You know, you're kind of stuck without being able to do it. With this, you don't need a CPU installed to flash your BIOS, which I really like. That's another cool thing about this board.
Probably something to consider right now with the way Intel is releasing parts, and they're all still 14 nanometer in the same architecture. Like,
yeah,
you're probably going to be able to use this board for a little while, you know? They're not changing much of anything.
So in this board, we got our highest overclock on the 9900K out of this board, 5.2 gigahertz, nice. Across all 8 cores there. And within temperature limits too. So like I said, it's just a good board, solid built. Their BIOS has been redone. I think we saw a little bit of this at CES maybe they showed it at Computex. But the BIOS itself has built-in overclocking in it, but it's all based on your cooling. So when you go into the BIOS, they have this thing called the OC robot, and what that does is that it will run like a benchmark almost and switch up voltages and see how the temperature is. So if you have like really good cooling, this is going to overclock your system higher. It's not just like a set overclock based on your processor. It's all about what your system can do. And I think that's really cool that they have that in there. And they also have a stress test built into the BIOS. Is something that you don't typically see. And the reason I like that is because you want to test certain things, but like a lot of times that's all you want to test. Like you know, the pain of installing Windows, installing everything else and running all this. You don't have to have Windows installed, and you can run a stress test on the system to see if your certain configuration will work for what you want it to do.
Right. As long as you don't get carried away with that, because Windows will add to the load. So
it's very true. Very true.
Might be careful when you're overclocking.
But yeah, I think that they've done a great job on the BIOS. The board is really, really good as well. It's going to have everything that you want. Not a lot of the extra crap that you see there. And again, if you're not a fan of RGBs, this has no RGBs on the board. You do get 2 RGB headers if you want to add some lighting in your case, but it's just a good overall board. It is $229 online right now. Let me see if that price has changed, but it had been $229. And I don't see it available on Amazon anymore.
Yeah, sold out.
Yeah, but just a good board overall there. And one that I would totally recommend. So definitely check this out, especially if you're looking to build a new system, because, you know, the ninth generation processors came out not that long ago.
So
the next product is one that I wasn't sure if I was going to like when I initially got it, because so many companies have tried to build this gaming headset, but at the same time, a headset that I can take with me on my daily travels or when I'm traveling.
A headset that doesn't look horrendous and doesn't function terribly.
Yes. So either we've seen companies do this where the headset's just way too big to wear in public. Yeah. It just is. It's just ugly. Or that it's so underpowered that when you're using it at home on your PC or console, that it's not a good gaming headset. It's just not.
Right.
So HyperX has come out with their Mix. It's called their Cloud Mix, and it's a Bluetooth headset, but you can use it wired as well. And I think that it checks all those boxes. It really does. I was actually really impressed with this headset. It keeps the same design that we've seen from their cloud headsets. Pretty much the exact same design. The only thing that's different is they tone the drivers down from 50 millimeter drivers to 40 millimeter drivers. That's to cut down the size of the ear cups, so they're not as big, but they're still big enough that they cover your entire ears. And of course, the cloud design is one of the most comfortable out there. And with Bluetooth, you have Bluetooth 4.2 connectivity, 33 feet, which I'm on the third floor of my place, and my phone was on the first floor, and I had no problem with connectivity that way. So it worked quite well. And they rated at 20 hours wireless. I got 22 out of it, which is pretty impressive.
So
a lot of cool stuff when it comes to the wireless. Very easy to connect to your device and all that. Now, when it comes to wired, the audio quality is completely different. It's actually really, really good. So this is, I believe, HyperX's first headset that is certified for high-res audio. So when you're directly connected to your PC, which they do provide the cable, so it would be a wired setup, you are able to listen to high-res audio, which will allow for you to pick up more things, especially in certain songs. You can really pick up things if you're listening to like a high-res version. You know, so I, like I said, it's the first headset that is available from HyperX that has that high-res audio certification. So I think that, like I said, they've done a really good job. And like for gaming, it does have a detachable headset, detachable microphone, and mm-hmm. you can use that microphone in Bluetooth mode to take calls too. And I believe there's a microphone on the ear cup as well. So if you don't want that big old thing, you can still kind of have some bit of a microphone. But of course, I would
More like a cell phone headphone.
Yeah,
minor little pickup.
Yeah. So. Like I said, I just think they've done a really great job with this. It's a great wired headset, but it's a great wireless headset too. I think that it's priced at $149, which is pretty high. I think that if you're looking for a specifically gaming headset, that's all you're gonna be using it for is gaming, whether it's on your PC or PS4 or Xbox. There are better headsets out there for better cost. It's like even HyperX's own Cloud Alpha. When it comes to the wireless realm, there's better wireless headphones out there at this price too. But there's no headset that offers both wired and wireless functionality with the ability to unplug this from my PC, you know, get on the bus to go downtown or, you know, I'm traveling, take it out of my, you know, take it out of my PC, throw it in my bag and go. And it's still a really good headset either way. I think they've done a great job at really doing that. The only thing that I really didn't like about this headset is that because of its design, so the HyperX Cloud design is that steel frame that's really, really good. It doesn't allow for a lay flat design. So, you know, when it comes to traveling, this is not something that's going to lay flat in your bag.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, so that's the only ding I have against this headset. But besides that, it is a good headset. And it's a good all-around headset. This is one thing I really like about it is that there's better options in the wired segment and the wireless segment, but both together, I think this is one of the best out there that you're getting all of that in one.
Yeah, and that's absolutely the way you got to judge it because whenever you're compromising, you're never going to have the best of both. It never happens.
Correct.
So, yeah, you kind of got to put it in its own category, and it sounds like it excels at what it's aimed to do.
Yeah, so it really does.
Kind of the ultimate mix.
Yeah, that's why they call it the mix. I see what you did there. I was actually really impressed with this headset. I agree with the price point on it too. It's a good headset. And like I said, you know, it's one that you can unplug from your PC and then go, you know, and one thing that's nice about it too is that while it's connected to your PC, and if you want to connect it, and you can charge it while you're using it, which is nice. You know, so yeah. you can always just have so like
you
don't a
have USB. To just have it sit there charging.
Yeah. So that is cool as well. So definitely a cool headset, definitely one that I would recommend as well. You know, if you're looking for an all around headset, like one you can take everywhere with you and that you can use at home, this is the one that I would highly recommend. So definitely check that review out. And as we talked about last week, we have released an Ultimate Tech Stocking Stuffers Guide. Which is basically our parameters for this was like anything that would fit in a stocking that, you know, stocking stuffers aren't meant to be like, you know, hundreds of dollars, really. Typically, yeah. Stocking stuffers like under $100 or right at $100 for some people. Yeah. So that was our parameters for this. And we came up with 7 items, which I'll go through here for you, that kind of meet those parameters. And I think that they're tech related and they're just great upgrades for a lot of people. So the first one is, I think we reviewed it last week or it was the week before, was the Crucial P1, which is Crucial's first NVMe solid state drive. Really great performance on that. And it has the 5-year warranty. So, you know, just a solid overall NVMe drive there. And then we have the Cooler Master MasterFan MF120R addressable RGB fan. So this is a 3-fan kit, comes in, I think it's $89. And it's just a great way if you're building a system or you've had a system for a while to add some bling to it. These are addressable RGB fans that you can either connect to your motherboard or they come with that. You've had experience with that addressable RGB controller. So it has that controller with it. Just a great way to start off a build or to kind of, you know, add some bling or some lights to your system. And then we have the Tile Pro, which is probably, Tile in general is probably my most gifted thing that I've given to people over the past year. It's a simple little device that you connect to your keys, you throw in your wallet, whatever it may be. And it connects to your phone via Bluetooth. And then say I misplace my keys, I can ring my Tile and it makes an audible sound so you can find it. On top of that, in the app, you can see, say you really lost your wallet, it will show the last known location where it was, which is good. And they even have it in the app where you can report it as missing. And then all the tiles are sort of connected in this network that when they're close to each other, they'll detect each other and then it will find it, which is also really cool. So
it's got a location.
Yeah. So that's super cool. And this is the brand new Tile Pro, which has a longer range and is louder than the previous version. And this one comes with a removable battery this time. So all the previous Tiles, you know, they last for about a year and then you have to buy a new one. With this, you don't have to do that. So very, very cool device. And then we'll move to the Kingston Nucleum. And this is their USB Type-C hub. If you've bought an Ultrabook lately or say like a MacBook Air or Pro even, just any PC recently.
Yeah, just anything lately. It's just,
yeah, any laptop, you're kind of screwed on ports really, especially if you're like, you have a lot of gadgets, you have a lot of things to charge, you need certain things.
Especially if you actually use the device.
Yeah, so the big thing that pissed me off about all new Ultrabooks, you know, almost all of them, and even laptops, is that where did our card readers go? Like,
dude, so that was like suddenly they decided we didn't need that anymore.
Especially, I was really surprised on like MacBook Pros, there's no card reader. And like you think of like Mac and MacBooks, like those are for photographers. Like that's what a lot of...
Yeah, that's like the photographer tool.
Yeah, so I was really surprised that that's not there. So you need a hub. So Kingston has the Nucleum, which uses a single Type-C connection, and it will give you two more USB 3.1 ports, a USB 3.1 Type-C port. So you're getting three more ports there. You're getting an SD and micro SD card reader built in. You have HDMI out, and you have a powered Type-C port. So a lot of these, especially maybe the MacBook Air, but I'm not specifically sure, but a lot of them, you'll have two Type-C ports, and that's all you're getting on this on your device. Two Type-C ports. One's a power port, and one's something else. So what this allows you to do is to still bring power into your laptop through the Type-C port, and not have to lose that port either. So it's just a cool little device. I think this one's like $40 or something like that. Awesome for anybody on the go who needs more ports. This is just a great little device there. And that brings us to gaming, and we couldn't forget gamers this holiday season. So we have the mouse that's sitting in front of me that I've been using since I reviewed it. I'm a huge fan of. It's the Fanatic Flick 2. It is a gaming mouse that has an awesome sensor, awesome switches, and it's just like a no-nonsense gaming mouse that's really good, has great software, and just works and super comfortable to use. If it wasn't comfortable, I wouldn't still be using it. So I really, really like that. I think it's like $50. It's $60. It's not even that expensive. So we have that as well. And then, you know, with any stocking stuffers guide, we had to include a Bluetooth speaker because they're small and they just make it great. Having better sound, you know, whether you're on the go, whether, you know, you want music in the shower and your phone's not going to do it. You know, whether you just need it for like an office space or something like that, Bluetooth speaker is where it's at. And Divoom has this really cool Bluetooth speaker that's kind of looks like an old fashioned TV. They call it the TiVo, TiVoo. Right. And it has a fully programmable 256 RGB LED screen on it that you can use their app to you know, display really cool things. You can actually make your own pixel art. You can download other pixel art. So they have like a kind of social media aspect of it where like people can submit their own and you can download other people's pixel art. Just some really cool stuff.
So like a developer forum thing?
Yeah, it's just like a where you can, like when you create your accounts, you can upload pixel art. And everybody can see it, and then they can download it and use it on theirs. And there's some actually really cool ones that people have made. Sure. But you can also display things like the time, the date, the weather outside. You can, it will display like your current song that you're listening to, all that kind of stuff. So it's just like a different Bluetooth speaker, and I think it's super cool. It's very small, but it actually has really good sound. And it's just a cool device that like, you can see this sitting on somebody's desk. You know, it's just...
Yeah, it's a fun little device.
Yeah, it's a fun little device. Now,
can you plug it in and run it as a clock? I know that's kind of like anti-Bluetooth speaker, but like, can you just run it full time or?
Yeah, so it takes USB power. So okay. As long as you have a USB cable, you can run it full time if you want. You know, there's like an animate. You can get like animated fire.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that you can display. I believe you can connect it to your social media network. So say you get like an update on Facebook, it will like flash like a Facebook logo. Things like that. Cool. Yeah, so it's a cool little device. Really just, it's a cool gift. Something that, you know, you can throw in somebody's stocking. I thought it was really cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah. And our final thing on the list is the newer WD My Passport Ultra, which is their portable hard drive. This is the newest version, the 2018 version. And it uses a Type-C connection. It is a normal hard drive, but it comes up with capacities up to 4 terabytes. So if you're looking to store a lot of data or move a lot of data, this is just the device to do it on. Super small, can fit in your pocket easily, can be thrown into a laptop or backpack or laptop bag or backpack. Yeah. And for all those who have older devices, it uses a Type-C connection, but it has a Type-A adapter. A lot of these newer devices don't come with a Type-A adapter. So yeah, it's a cool little device. Like I said, available in a capacities up to 4 terabyte. And WD is one of the only companies that does provide their own backup software. So if you want a constant backup going on or something like that, or you want syncing going on. So whenever you plug this in, it will sync, all the software is in there.
It's actually pretty cool. As a photographer, you could just plug it in and back up all your photos and unplug it.
Yep. So yeah, it's all part of their software package that you get with this. So very cool stuff. So that's 7 awesome products. And on top of that, we're giving away all of them. So everything that's listed in the article will be given away. If you go to the second page of the article, on the website, we have our entry, and there's already, we just announced this today, and there's 762 entries. And we're giving away the products kind of segmented. So like every week, we're giving away different products all leading up to Christmas. So check the dates on the giveaway page, get your entries in. You can enter a bunch of different ways. It's very simple. So yeah, there's something cool to give back to you guys for,
tell your friends.
Yeah. Tell your friends. You can share it as well. That's another way to get entries if you share it. So a lot of cool stuff there.
Did you say one entry per day or is it just one entry period?
It's one entry you get. So in order to enter, you have to subscribe to our YouTube page. That's how you get one entry in. And then once you do that, you unlock, I think, 6 or 7 different ways you can enter. But it's not per day. Like, if you share it on social media, that's, like, one entry. If you join our Discord, that's another entry. Like, you know, we have a bunch of different ways you can enter. So,
yeah, for sure.
So, cool stuff there. We'll be announcing the winners, you know, on those days that we have listed there. So, definitely check that out. Really excited to do it. And I made a video on it that you guys can check out that I go over all the products as well. So, and that's the first video that I shot in the new studio. So
sweet.
Yeah. So definitely check all that out. And we wouldn't be done with our stuff on the site without talking about Case Mod Friday. And this build is, while I'm not a fan really of Call of Duty, I think I played one of the games ever. this build is quite awesome. This is a Call of Duty Black Ops 4? Yeah, Black Ops 4 themed build done in the Fantex Evolve Shift X, which you have. You have that case.
Yeah, right next to me.
And it's very different. I like what they've done with this, really. They just made it look
very... What's it supposed to be? So that's very vague. It's like a tall tower, and then it's got four radiators, 420mm radiators, and one coming off of each corner, and then fans and tubing attached to each one. And I don't, it's very like, it almost looks sci-fi.
Yeah, I think it's something in the game.
Is it something in the game? Okay, so
I assume it's some type of piece of hardware that's in the game. But I really like the look of it.
It's really cool. Yeah,
I think they killed the color scheme of Call of Duty. Yeah. They did a really good job. I like that they built onto it. I know that's part of the like whatever this is supposed to be, but I just think that's really cool too.
Yeah,
it's just a really, really good build. Looks great. Some great hardware in there as well.
It's actually not that easy of a case to build inside of either. So they've did a good job with the water cooling in there. Smart to put the radiators on the outside. That does provide you with a ton more space to for the multiple reservoirs they have in there. And I think it's a dual pump setup. I think one's on the res and then one below.
That's pretty cool. Like. Yeah, just a good build. I really, really like this. And again, as you talked about, the Evolve Shift X is very hard to build in. So, you know,
it looks like there's a ton of space. And I mean, I guess cubically there is a ton of space, but it just doesn't quite work out as easily as you think it's going to. Which is kind of like, that is the moral of the story anytime you do a mini ATX build, but you know.
And one thing that I just noticed now is if you look at the sleeving on the power supply, I'm not sure. It
looks, is it just copper?
It looks something like that. I can't really tell. It's hard to tell. But it looks really, really cool. It's something you really don't notice until you start really digging down in these photos. But
yeah,
that looks cool.
I don't know
cool.
what that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might be like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Stranded copper cable, maybe.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. So a lot of cool stuff there. Just an awesome, awesome, awesome build there. So definitely check that out for sure. So we're going to news this week. And the big announcement, the massive announcement, is that NVIDIA announced their Titan RTX graphics card at $2,500.
I ordered two of them.
Yeah.
No.
I was like, all right.
No. I don't have any AI projects or
so this like is going on. You know, the Titan sometimes has held a spot in game for gamers, but I
the
mean,
original one was quite the gaming card for sure.
Yeah.
And then it kind of moved towards workhorse, towards the rendering side of things.
Yeah. So this card specifically designed for kind of AI, very big on ray tracing performance. They said it provides 11 gigarays of ray tracing performance.
I didn't know there was a rating for ray tracing.
Yeah, neither did I. And 130 teraflops of deep learning performance.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
That Turing architecture baked in is key.
Yeah, it has 24 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory.
So I'm kind of quite wondering, I was, you know, once again lamenting the fact that there's no HBM2 in this card either. Do you think HBM went off the rail and we're just going to see GDDR continue?
I think GDDR6 is less expensive and provides close enough performance.
Okay. I mean, yeah, anything's
cheaper. And it's easier to implement, I feel, as well.
The yields were, that was what was crushing AMD, right? The yields were bad on the HBM2?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is obviously what's driving the price up. So continue with the GDDR6, I guess.
Yeah, so 24 gigabytes providing 672 gigabytes a second of bandwidth. That's 2 times the memory of previous generation Titans. Sweet. Yeah. 100 gigabytes a second NVIDIA NVLink. So you compare two of these together. Basically, you know, it says it's ready for 8K video editing.
It's kind of required for that.
Yeah. The card looks sick.
It's a gorgeous card.
It looks a lot like the RTX cards, except for the accents are gold.
The gold?
Yes.
It's a light gold.
Yeah, accents are light gold. I even like the IO shield. I just think that looks cool. with the NVIDIA logo the matte there.
Black. Yeah.
Yeah, that just
actually that's good. Probably the best looking IO shield they've done.
Yeah.
I didn't really key in on it. It's a black PCB too, so that matches.
Yeah. Everything
best,
is
best NVIDIA card ever. I don't know if we can go that far, but pretty close probably.
Best looking, yeah, I'd say.
Well, they've had some good ones in recent history, but yeah. That thing looks great.
Yeah. Sweet card, one that none of us will probably see just for the fact because you don't need this. Yeah. It is not needed for gaming,
no, but dude, yeah. That would be sweet. Wouldn't you love to be putting videos together with this thing? Blast along.
Yeah. Is that even a question? Yeah. So definitely if you're interested, we have all the details on it in our article about it. But like I said, one of the better looking NVIDIA cards in memory for me. Yeah.
I'm a little bit confused at this point in time because they say it transforms your PC into a supercomputer for AI researchers and developers. However, do you remember what Titan was it that released late last year? Actually, probably this time last year, that they had that big stink about not allowing like universities and companies. Yeah. There was a limit on how many you could purchase.
Yeah, I forget which one that was. Was that the Titan V?
It probably was the Titan V because that was the first one with Turing, I think, and with those tensor cores, and so. Like, what, now they're advertising this as supercomputer for, like, what, which is it? Because I thought they were trying to tell us that, you know, if you're...
I think with that, they didn't want to cannibalize their Quadro market.
That's what I mean, though. They're still doing that. Yeah. Yeah. Like, now it's okay? I don't understand. Which is it, NVIDIA? It was a big deal, remember? Like,
I just think that Titan sounds so much better than Quadro, just in general.
For sure. Sounds like it's going to smash.
And it has that name, and it has that name recognition where Quadro is just like, yeah, we don't use those.
But I think that amongst researchers and professionals, Quadro probably has a pretty big name.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I don't know. It's just, I think there is a place for both, but NVIDIA was kind of like, you know, like, setting the boundary last year, so what is it this year? It's not. I mean, I guess.
They don't really say what their.
Yeah, I mean, after that last quarter of sales, I guess maybe they're going to open things up to just try to push cards. Maybe.
Yeah, that could be true as well. So we'll have to see. But definitely,
it's a cool card. I'll take two for sure.
Yeah, I'll take two as well.
Go ahead and PM me. I'll send you my address if you.
Yeah. Interested. Exactly. So talking about graphics cards, you'll be able to talk to your graphics card soon enough.
That seems unnecessary.
At least if you have an AMD card. So AMD is preparing their Radeon Software Adrenaline 2019 edition. So every year, around the end of the year, AMD releases a huge software upgrade to their graphics card software.
And once a year... driver update.
No, they've been good on their driver updates. Yeah. But this is the big one where they really change things up, which is cool. It's something to look forward to, especially if you're an AMD graphics card owner, because you know you're getting some new features. And one of the new features will be voice control. So you'll be able to, you know, talk to your graphics card through voice commands. We'll initially roll out in English and Chinese, and you'll be able to, you know, control certain things without having to, you know, not exit out, but tap out of your game or things like that. You know, you can ask it to take a screenshot or record a stream or gameplay, adjust settings, brightness, contrast, and even like move workspaces. Of course, all of these things can be set to hotkeys on your keyboard, but.
Right. So I didn't see the point of this at first, but you running through that list. I could get into that. You're playing a game and like you just want to keep playing, but especially multiplayer, you know, you can't back out, or if you do you might die, and like say it's just dark, and then you say, hey, what do you say to it? Okay, hey. Radeon.
Yeah, or it's like hey Radeon, or
hey Radeon,
yeah,
increase brightness. Yeah, yeah, or something. I could see that.
There's certain things that I could see it being useful for. I think that voice control is really taking a hold now because everybody's getting so used to it. So I think this is something we're probably going to see on both sides eventually.
I find it odd that it's implemented at the GPU level.
True.
I would expect this to be like a Windows level thing.
But yeah, Windows voice assistant hasn't really caught on.
No, I love Cortana, but she's not so good.
Yeah, so yeah, like I said, it's something cool to look forward to. I think that like you said, like adjusting brightness in game is very cool.
Or because all I could picture was like, okay, Radeon, increase core megahertz to, you know, like,
yeah,
up 5 megahertz or something like that for overclocking. I was like, that just seems dumb. I don't need to do that with my voice, but
yeah,
with those other features, I could see it.
Yeah, so that's expected in this new update. Also, the Wattman will get upgraded. It should have like a new one-click overclocking. Mm-hmm. And it will not only just increase your GPU clock speed, but also video memory. So more in-depth overclocking built into it, which a lot of people would be happy to see. And more user-friendly overclocking. So if you're not like a hardcore overclocker, you just press a button and it kind of does it for you. So yeah, a lot of stuff like that coming to this software update. Cool to see. I want to see that in action, the voice control, like, yeah, see how responsive
let's
it is.
Just see that.
Yeah.
Because yes, we've also seen voice. We have all probably experienced voice command like failing utterly. So.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to like ask Alexa 3 times to turn off my lights. So.
Yeah. So, and then like that just. Now Alexa has to go into a timeout, right? Like, you shouldn't have to ask so many times.
Yeah. Talking about AMD, it's a slide was released from, I think it was, Gigabyte had an event going over, you know, what they have coming up in the future. And this is supposed to be, you know, a private event. But somebody leaked one of the slides that shows the X570 chipset launching at Computex 2019, which is in June. Which means if that's launching, that's when third generation Ryzen is launching. Yeah. Which I think is a fitting time. It's a good time. It's a perfect event to launch a CPU at, for sure. I think that's when they initially launched Ryzen, or it could be wrong.
They launched at CES.
Did they?
Yeah.
No. But in any case, it's a perfect time to launch it.
It is good.
It's just. Yeah, it's, you know, and like I said, that's going to be on 7 nanometer, while Intel will still be on 14. So that's going to be pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, that's a thing.
And it's expected
that's a slight difference.
It's expected that X570 chipset will be the first one to support PCI Express 4.0, which would be pretty cool.
Interesting.
So that's definitely something to look forward to. You know, just, you know, wait another 6 months for
it's always wait.
Oh, I know, when it comes to PC hardware, it's always wait, but definitely something to look forward to when it comes to Computex, because that second generation Ryzen is gonna be pretty good, part from everything that I've seen. So yeah,
for sure.
So yeah, so talking about AMD as well, according to one German retailer, they released their sales figures. It's mindfactory.de, which is a decent sized shop, but it's not like Amazon or Newegg or something like that when it comes to PC hardware. Mm-hmm. But they did show that AMD is outselling Intel processors 2-1 in November, which is a big deal. I think that's huge. That's
telling.
Yeah, it's very, very telling. So AMD held 69% of the processor sales compared to Intel's 31%. I think one, this has to do with pricing. AMD has been very aggressive on their processor pricing. And two, it also has a little bit to do with availability. We talked about their, you know, the scarce availability, especially of the new 9900K, and how it's been, the pricing's just been out of control on it.
Yeah.
And I also think it just comes to a value proposition. I mean, you know, you're getting an 8-core, 8-thread part for $300 from AMD. I don't know what the 2700X is right now.
It was sub-300 when the 9900K launched.
It is $329. The 2700X is and again, that comes with a cooler too, so you're not spending at least $50 on a cooler.
if you're gonna use it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like I said, it's a good cooler. It's a good air cooler. It's loud when you're doing stuff, I mean, but
it's an air cooler though.
Yeah, but you know, if you're gonna go the AIO route, you're at least spending $50 at minimum, if not more.
Definitely.
So it's a value thing too, you know, when it comes to this stuff, or you know, you only have a certain amount of money, but you want to buy a system now. You could, you know, use that air cooler for a little bit, and then you know, finally, paycheck comes in next month, upgrade to an AIO or something like that. So like I said, these results are very telling. While it's only a small sample size, it kind of gives you an idea what might be happening around the world. Again, this is only in Germany, but pretty interesting.
I mean, I think that it's probably pretty accurate all around, and I would guess that the biggest reason is that we're seeing prices on most all PC components up. So it's probably anywhere that people can save and still maintain that same basic level of performance, they're going to take it.
Yeah.
Especially gamers are pretty notorious for going the value route with
PC. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, definitely. And we included some of the other slides that were released, you know, like average sale price, revenues, and like what people are buying. It's kind of cool to see like
individual chip sales.
Yeah, like what, you know, people are buying Threadripper, are they buying Summer Ridge, Raven Ridge, Pinnacle Ridge, like what people are buying on the Intel side, like Skylake, Kaby Lake, like what people are buying. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So definitely check that one out. Really interesting stuff in there. And another thing that, talking about processors specifically, is that the Cinebench 8-core CPU world record was just beaten. Huh. And it was done on the EVGA Z390 Dark motherboard, which is a sick motherboard.
Dope board.
Yeah, it's just sexy looking.
Might be the best 390 board.
Yeah, it's a very sexy looking board. I just love this board. Obviously, this one's
Oh man, put your Titan on this. Put your new Titan.
Oh, that would look sick. There has to be something coming out for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this was done by Finnish overclocker Lumi. And he took the 8-core i9-9900K almost up to 7 gigahertz, which I couldn't even fathom.
Dang.
Definitely on LN2. And he achieved a CPU score of 3,142, which is the new world record. That's pretty awesome stuff. Getting that processor up that high. What was his V-core at?
1.14. That seems inaccurate.
That's probably not with load on there.
But man, would you leave it unlocked when you're, I mean, maybe, but
maybe
that cannot be what he was running V-core. He's got to be like 1.5, 1.6.
Yeah.
For that many cores at that speed, there's just, yeah.
Yeah. So it's very, very cool. Awesome. Obviously, this is like PR4 EVGA because that's the board that it was done on.
But it did supply the stable power for it.
Yeah. And you know, something that, you know, there's like this board, there's not a whole lot of overclocking boards anymore.
No. Wait, what other one? I know of this one.
There's this one. It might be. I don't know. I really haven't looked. Gigabyte always used to have one, but they haven't.
Yeah, you're right. They usually have a board that has more VRM than.
And so does MSI had their Lightning boards. That's what they were for.
Yeah. Gigabyte used to be the one that really did it. And ever since Aorus, they've kind of. That's been phased out, basically.
Yeah, because everybody concentrated more on gaming because, I mean, overclockers board's nice, but, I mean, how many people are buying them? Not a lot.
Yeah.
You know, because they're made specifically for overclocking. They're not made.
The money's in gaming for sure.
Yeah.
So, you don't like, the average user does not need the power delivery that this provides. Stability.
Yeah. And the extra dip switches to turn PCI Express lanes off. And
yeah,
like you don't need that, you know? So definitely check this out. If you haven't seen the EVGA Z390 Dark, we have a big picture of it in the article. You can just see how sick this board is. It's just.
You don't even need to look. You just need to buy.
Yeah. it is an awesome, awesome board. So definitely check all that out. And we have links to the HW bot submission and all that kind of stuff too. So
cool.
So yeah. And another, talking about older motherboards, this new CPU cooler kind of reminds me of a couple Zalman coolers,
yeah,
and older Thermaltake coolers.
100%.
So Raging Tech announced their Juno Pro RBW, which is a low profile CPU cooler. So I really don't think this thing is all that powerful, because it only handles thermal loads up to 105 watts, so not that big, but it just looks really cool, and it just reminds me of those, like, I forget what they were even called.
It looks, well, for one thing, it looks astonishingly similar to the Master Air G100M from this year from Cooler Master. That's not a throwback, but like, that was what I thought of instantly.
Okay.
The flying saucer look.
Yeah, that one's,
but
more,
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, I forget what they were called. Zalman used to have these cylindrical coolers instead of Thermaltake, actually.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, that was what the Zalman cooler was, what you kind of saw in everything.
Yeah.
What, 2004-ish?
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Sure,
so, yeah, it's just, you know, this is more to be a, like I said, low profile, not super high performance cooler, but they do have the RGB fan, which I think looks good. That's their...
Modernizes it.
Yeah, I forget what RGB fan that is, but that's their... I don't know which one, but...
You've probably reviewed it.
Yeah, I've reviewed it. I forget what it's called, though. But yeah, it's just a cool thing. If it does perform well, especially on like Core i5s, Core i3s type coolers, it'd be something cool to add to your case. Gives it that cool look, too. And I think even without the RGB fan, I think it will still look pretty sweet in your system, so...
Yeah, I'm curious what the material is that it, like, the shroud is. I hope it's not. If it's plastic.
No, I believe it's metal.
Take a point down, yeah. Okay, so that'd be good. Dude, yes. I did find the Zalman CNPS 8900.
Yes, I reviewed that way back in the day.
Okay, so that looks, like, really similar. Even the way the fins kind of step down.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Maybe that went off patent. Like, honestly, it's that.
I mean,
close.
Zalman went out of business. So, I mean,
are they completely out of business now?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. I could be wrong. You can still buy that cooler on Newegg for $15.
I would buy it just to put it up.
Like, just to have it. Solid copper.
I mean, that's why I bought Steam Link. I bought the Steam Link just to have it. Just, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely cool stuff.
Yeah.
Just a cool little cooler. I'm going to see if I can get one into review just to see, you know, I want to see what it looks like and I want to see what the performance is, because I think it's a cool looking cooler, but it all comes down to performance. Something's going to look cool in your system, but if it performs like crap, you're not going to want it. So
I'm going to guess it doesn't even outperform the Wraith. So
I bet it outperforms the Wraith Spire.
Yeah, but everything has outperformed the Wraith Spire.
The Wraith Spire is pretty crap.
Like,
so,
you can outperform the Wraith Spire by like blowing softly on your CPU.
Yeah.
So
definitely, we're going to try to get one under review. So we'll see what that's about.
Cool.
And our final news story of the week is, I think this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I did not get it at first. Then I remembered what the puck was.
So, NZXT, maybe 4 years ago, released it was longer than that?
No, it was shorter. I think it was two or three.
Okay. 2 or 3 years ago, NZXT, released a product called the puck.
Yeah.
And basically it looked almost like a puck, more square than circular shaped.
And at least like three times thicker, but generally.
Yeah. And basically it was something that you could stick. It's
rubbery. It's a big rubber bit, and it's got a pretty decent magnet in it.
Yeah. So basically you could stick it on the front or side of your case, and then you put your headphones on it. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And it was
it really worked too.
Yeah, it really worked, and it was more than strong enough to hold your headset. Like I used one for a long time, actually. And the puck I have that NZXT gave to me is on my refrigerator now. So,
you're hanging actual pots and pans?
No, I should probably test that. But so in PUBG, the most popular melee weapon is a pan. And part of NZXT's what is that called? Like their craft line, CRFT line. Oh. So they had like the PUBG case, they had the Fortnite Ninja case, and this is the third thing that's kind of themed after a game, part of that craft line, is the PUBG pan puck,
yeah.
So it's designed, looks like the PUBG pan, but it's a, you know, rubber with a magnet on it where you can hold your headset. I think it's cool.
Yeah. I think it's a sweet idea because they've got the PUBG case.
Yeah. Obviously, we have a picture of it with the PUBG case, which looks really cool. But, you know, if you're a PUBG fan, this is awesome. They're only making 2,000 of them.
It's pretty limited edition. It's also, I mean, it's $30, which is, like, kind of a lot. But also, dude, they might sell out at Christmas.
You have to think that...
That's a great gift item.
Well, one, it's a great gift item. Like, stocking stuff or gift guide. Boom, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Two, it's not, like I said, it's not overly expensive. And... like headset stands, the ones from Razer and Corsair are like $60.
Yeah, super expensive.
And actually,
go ahead.
This won't. So if you have a headset with memory foam, if you leave it sit on that stand for so long, it's gonna have an indent where the stand part is on most of those. Whereas this one is rounded and it doesn't. Do that. Like, it won't do that.
Yeah. It is, honestly, it's great. You can't over or undersell it or oversell it or whatever. It's great. Like, it's crazy how good it is.
Yeah.
For, like, it's not a part that or an item that you'd expect from NZXT necessarily, and they just kind of, like, started shipping it with cases and stuff, and it's great.
Yeah, it's a cool item. The original is great. This one, especially if you're a PUBG fan, I mean, this is awesome for you.
The only caveat to that is that you have to have the case on your desk, basically, or right next to your case for it to be really super helpful. But
yeah, I mean, even if you have your case on the ground, which I don't recommend anyways, but I know a lot of people do. I mean, it's sitting right there. I can just reach down and grab my headset. I mean, it's not...
Yeah, I guess so.
You know.
It should be, due to cords, it should be within reach, I suppose.
Yeah, so... So yeah, it's going to be available starting today, and you should be able to buy it on NZXT's website. So
let's see if it's up there.
I think they should have it up. Let's see.
Craft. Oh yeah.
Is it still available? I can't assume it's sold out one day.
I don't think so. Click on it. It's not like a buy button. Oh, 25. You go all the way to the bottom to buy. I don't know if NZXT might want to work on that. coming soon still, so.
Okay, yeah. So, but it definitely, like I said, if you're a PUBG fan, I'd pick one up. Just like I said, it's kind of a no-brainer.
So, yeah. So, gift idea for your PUBG fan, family member, or loved one. So, $30 for that. And then there's the case, the limited edition case that is...
That case is very expensive.
Is it? That's $180. It's down $20 for the holidays.
Nice. So that's like really, that's a good case too. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good case. So that one is that the smart one that had I'm trying to remember what features it had. Yeah, it had a bunch of stuff.
I don't know if it's just the H700.
It's just the H700, so it's not the eye, right?
It's not the eye. It's not the that's the smart features. But still, it's a really good case.
It's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've got a If you're shopping for somebody and they're a huge PUBG fan, hit up NZXT maybe.
Yeah.
They may have you covered.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, guys, that's the news for the week. Kind of slow week, but definitely some awesome things, especially the Titan RTX. And where we talked about that PUBG thing for a long time, considering what it is. So coming up next week, I have another Fnatic gaming product, and this time I'm taking a look at the Clutch 2, which, whereas the Flick 2 was more of a ambidextrous type mouse, you would say, it's kind of the exact same design on each side. This is made for people right hand, which is most people, I would say. So almost the same design, uses the same sensor and same switches, but a little bit, it seems like it has a little bit more of a arc in it.
Just on the inside thumb side, it seems like.
Yeah, but what I mean is like it's the actual.
The height.
Yeah, the height is more arced as well. It seems like it is.
Higher into your palm.
But yeah, so excited to take a look at this. I've been a huge fan of every Fnatic product I've reviewed. They're all quite good. Nice. So we'll have that, and I'll be taking a look at those fans we listed in our stocking stuffers guide.
Yeah,
so these are the Masterfan MF120Rs. They're the ARGB fans. So I'll be having that review coming up for you guys next week. Great fans. And three fan kit. Can't complain about that at all. And then finally, I have a monitor arm or monitor stand, whatever you want to call it. It's from Arctic. It is their Z2 3D. It's a two monitor arm. If you're really trying to save some space on your desk, monitor stands just take up a lot of space. This allows you to kind of get rid of that space, put it up on an arm. It also allows you to give more adjustment to your monitor because a lot of stands only give you so much. Mm-hmm. And especially a lot of monitors I've seen don't really give you hardly anything. So this allows you to do that. And also it allows you to, if you have two different monitors from two different brands, it allows you to, you know, put them next to each other and they don't look stupid. Yeah, so this is like just over $100 and it has a four port USB hub on it too, USB 3.0 hub. So, you know, this is like, you could connect all your devices to that and then connect it to your PC so you don't have all these cables either. So it's really going to help clean up your desk. So I'll have that for you as well. So yeah, as we always say, at the end of the podcast, we talk about if we did any tech related things this week. Have you done anything?
You know, not really. I was trying to think halfway through and I'm like, what have I done? And I haven't done anything. I've been working on some personal projects and I guess I really haven't played games or done anything. I went snowboarding. That's not tech related.
It's not.
How about you?
I downloaded, I bought Battlefield 5 because we have some graphics cards to test, which will be coming up in a couple weeks. Right. But I haven't played it yet, so I can't really talk about that. The 3-axis gimbal that I got, I literally opened it before the podcast we were talking about before we started recording. That thing looks pretty awesome, but I can't really tell you that much about it because I haven't really got into it.
Yeah.
Besides that, that's pretty much.
I mean, I received like all the loads of stuff I ordered, but nothing really crazy to talk about. So
yeah, I mean, I got all my stuff that I ordered on Black Friday. It wasn't a lot of tech. I haven't even connected the new Echo Dot I got because I just haven't yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. I have it sitting next to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's busy time of year. We're trying to get you guys a lot of content before the end of the year and before we go to CES. So it's just, I'm real busy with reviews and stuff like that. So
I do have one thing. Sort of, if you're into photography and you're shooting a Sony a7 III, I got the Velo BG-S6, which is the grip, portrait grip, extended battery thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I wanted the Sony one, but the Sony one is $300. And I was like, well, I'm not even 100% sure I want that. So is there any other options? And I found this one and it's only $60. And I was like, well, I might as well try it, even though some people are saying some things about it weird, but... So I've used it. It's like flawless.
Nice.
I'm not going to buy the Sony one. It's phenomenal for this.
I had my original DSLR, which was the Canon Rebel XT, the old camera. Yeah. I had the battery grip on that, and that, like, especially like back in the day when we were covering CS and like batteries were really shitty.
Yeah.
It allowed me to have more battery pack for it, and it gave you that good grip, especially when you're turning the camera sideways to shoot. It just gave you such a better grip. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm just so surprised by like how good this actually is. So I like all of like aftermarket things, the textures are not exactly the same, like the rubber, you know, the rubber grip bits, but it's close enough and it matches the camera perfectly. So
nice.
Definitely if you're shooting a7 III or the a9, it's the same grip. So
Gotcha. Check that out. So yeah, we've just been checking out photography things, but
not real like super hardware. We're gonna use them to produce pictures and video for you, though. Yeah. So
we'll end it here, guys. As I always say, we have our full list of show notes that has everything that we talked about. So as we talk about certain products or reviews, you can go ahead and click through. And we do have the link to our tech stocking stuffers guide. Not only check that out for all the products if you're looking to buy for somebody, but we're giving away all that stuff. So definitely check that out. So until next week, catch you guys later.